104.9, the X Rock Stone and Double T hanging out. Look, T, we got special guests.
Always great to have guests.
Dear God, are you kidding me? And how is it that we can get a band that will be traveling through and they'll go, yeah, we'll stop by at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You guys can't feel good about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Well, when you guys start talking, though, your immediate radio voices are so awesome. It's like, boom. That's what you get up for.
You get up for the rock radio voice.
Yeah, exactly.
The morning drives are good with those voices.
It's the guys from the Pretty Reckless stopping by. Introduce yourselves.
I'm Taylor.
Taylor.
And I'm Ben.
What's up?
How are things, guys?
Things are well.
Things are good.
About halfway through the tour, so we're in that mid-tour flow, I guess.
Is mid-tour good, or is it kind of I want to get through the rest of this?
Well, mid-tour right now is currently very cold.
Yeah, everybody's been sick. I don't think anybody wants to get... I don't think anyone wants the tour to end.
No, we want to keep playing.
We want to keep playing.
We just want to get over the cold.
I think by mid-tour, you start looking at it, and you go, there's only 2 weeks left.
I know. Wow, that flew by fast.
Yeah, it flies by.
It's
fun. It's
has it been surprisingly quick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you done this before, gone out on the road like this for any length of time?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Every time
How long have you been doing it?
Well, we toured Light Me Up for about 2 years, 2.5 years.
2.5 years, yeah.
When you start out on a project like this, has it been what you thought it was going to be? Or has it been tougher? Has it been easier? What's it been like?
It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. I don't think in the future like that. I don't know if you do.
I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow.
So you hope your guitar strings don't break and you're in tune. That's pretty much
so you're just living. You're just living in the moment and you don't worry about anything else.
Nah, you can't really.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got to just take it for what it is. It's the road. Anything could happen. So be prepared for everything.
It's a daily life. It's really, you're there today and gone tomorrow.
So. Now you said you're having fun. Did you expect it to be fun or did you expect it to be more work?
Oh, well, playing a show every night is just super fun.
Yeah,
anyone who calls it a job is crazy.
Yeah, but that's not the job part.
That's not the job part.
They say this is the job part,
yeah.
And this is
and
the
this
fun
is
part.
Fun too.
The travel's the job part.
The travel's
the
job.
The travel's the job.
How many miles? What have you been traveling in?
On a bus. But...
You got a nice bus?
But all my friends who have regular jobs, they're always like, what a glamorous job it is.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's 23 hours of travel for 1 hour of work. So that's really, that's what the life is like. So the travel is...
And a lot of people in a very, very small space.
Yeah, a lot of people in a very small space. So it's tiring, but the job, the music part is
awesome.
Obviously...
Makes it all worth it.
I would never call music work and if like that. It's too fun.
Do you guys
get up and crank to 10 and tell me that's not awesome.
Do you consider yourselves artists?
I consider the word artist used in many, many forms that... Probably it shouldn't be.
I consider myself a songwriter.
Yeah, a songwriter. That's fine.
When you're a songwriter, is there always a song? Is there always a lyric rolling around in your head?
Yes.
What's in there right now?
Well, you wish there was always a song. Right
you wish there was always a good song.
Yeah, exactly. There's some
the
song.
I was watching some TV show the other
day.
Right now
I got Rusty Cage by Soundgarden going. Hold on.
Don't you mean by the Soundgarden?
By the Soundgarden.
Exactly.
But I said this. I came out and I saw Going to California by Zeppelin was playing on some TV show or whatever.
It was on Entourage, at the end of Entourage.
Yeah.
I didn't say what I was watching. But and I walk out and
it's
I'm just
awesome
like,
show.
Man, why can't you just pick up a guitar and strum that song? You know?
Is it frustrating when you hear something like that? You're just going, come on.
Yes.
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 Or how about
put on the Beatles?
People better than you and are irritating.
Or how about when you come up with something and you think it's great, but then you realize it's something that's already been done?
That's happened.
I'm a good encyclopedia of music, so I'm pretty quick on the fly, and I have a couple people who I run things by because there's been 12 notes, and I don't like to repeat things. Taylor doesn't like to repeat things, and there's repetition is, you know, obviously
there's 12 notes.
You can't avoid it. There's 12 notes, and you know, Zeppelin's a good example of taking things and just
stealing,
kind of
borrowing,
stealing
is the right word,
honoring.
Paying homage.
Paying homage, but not royalties. So we fly some things by. But on the new record, there was a riff where I just kind of thought it was a generic, so generic that it could easily fly. And the drummer just went, you know, that's blank by blank and blank. And I went,
yeah, but it's
yeah,
so
yeah, whatever, whatever.
Everyone's played that. That's fine.
But we recorded the whole song, you know. We spent a bunch of money.
And we played it back and went, why didn't anyone tell us?
I played it back and I went, why didn't you say anything? Jamie, went, our drummer, was like, dude, I told you the day that we started recording this. And I was like, it's the exact same thing.
He goes, like, I know. It doesn't matter.
Is it on the record?
No.
It is on the record. Well, no, not the rip-off. We redid the riff. We went in and redid the riff.
Hold on.
It was a Rob Zombie song.
So oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, well, I mean, it's not like it's a not Ricky like that. It's song not, or
no,
something.
No. It was Rob Zombie, and it was, and I played it in the studio, and I went, ah, they're not the same
they're
thing.
They're not the same.
And I, for, and we went on, and everyone kind of looked around and was like, is he right? And then we recorded it, and then we played it back, and then
it was exactly the same.
It was exactly the same. It was exactly the same. So then I had to call the producer and go, guess what? We're going back in the studio and changing this riff. And then came up with a super riff, and that was cool.
And it's awesome.
He did. He came up with a super riff.
The Pretty Reckless is hanging out in the studio with us. They brought in guitars. We're going to hear some music here in just a little bit. Talk about the process of sitting down, writing, recording, and going through that that entire album cycle.
Well, I don't think there's a direct process of writing. When we got off tour, we'd been on tour for like 2.5 years. We kind of had to regroup. so we went away and started working on things. We'd started things earlier, actually, at the Hard Rock in Chicago, is where we wrote a lot of the beginning pieces of this record. There was a very specific room there that had a good vibe.
What specific room, may I ask?
Well, I don't know the number. I'm not going to tell you
it's
that
just one.
I'm going to steal it again.
It's just a regular hotel room?
Just a regular. It was a room in a hotel.
It's probably a fancy hotel room. I don't know.
It's a fancy hotel room.
A hotel room in the Hard Rock, and it had a really good vibe to it.
It had a good vibe.
We wrote like half, like started things there, and then when we got off the road, went away. And
for a couple months.
For a couple months, wrote
And once
most
there was,
of it.
You know, 20, 25 songs that were songs that we could stand for the next 5 years,
yeah.
Which is really
exactly.
Like
mm-hmm.
After you do this, the goal is can I play this 20 years from now?
Forever.
And that also will deliver you a song that should be worth it and actually have some substance to it. And our songs, I feel the more you listen to them, the more that you will get from them. They're not first listen kind of things.
No, they're not 3-minute pop songs. The more you listen to them, the more the more you listen to them, you're going to find something else inside.
I've never heard it said about writing a song to go, can I play this 20 years from now? Where'd that philosophy come from? Is that just in
because
your own
I
head?
Think we've all written because songs that we don't ever want to play ever.
Yeah. So. But I'll be honest, I heard it was an interview, that idea. First of all, it was proven true when we did the first record, and there's probably a couple songs, or songs that didn't actually make the record that we would play and then toss
because we like it.
No. But Elton John said it about your song. He was like, I'm glad that the first hit I had was a song I could play over and over again. And he's been playing for 45 years or whatever. I don't know.
Because it was really, really good.
It was really, really good.
So that's the goal, to write really good songs so then you can play them 20 years
from now. Is a good enough song that you can play 20 years from now? That you'll still care about, has honesty to it.
And doesn't date yourself, you don't follow any trends or anything.
What's a trend that you tried to avoid?
Any trend,
all of them.
The only trend we don't try to avoid is
loud guitars
and rock. So,
how complete are your songs when you go into the studio? Are they done pretty much, are you still writing
at
them?
At this point, they're pretty done. Yeah.
We come in with the whole thing in our head.
Yeah, like the whole production,
this
record,
the whole
we came in and we work with the same. We have a producer we always work with. His name's Cato, and very good friends. We're all very close, and he's kind of a musical. He's kind of like the fifth member. He plays guitar. He's like the fifth member of the band, and he doesn't tour with us. But so the record's just two guitars, bass, drums, vocals.
Very raw.
But we came in with kind of this concept and this whole idea with this record, and so they were all kind of finished.
They were all kind of they were done in our heads before they just. Then you just had to get them on tape.
Yeah.
So since you got the guitar,
yeah,
you got it hanging out with you. What song do you want to play for us? Because this is my favorite part of the job, is when actually people with talent come in and they break out a guitar and somebody's going to sing. And that, you know,
well, thank you.
Not a problem.
Well, you haven't even heard us yet. we can play a first song. Is called Cold Blooded.
Tell us about this song, where it came from and how it ended up the way it is.
This is actually an interesting song. Yeah. So it's a kind of a, it's a blues track, and
so it was on an EP of ours.
A friend of mine had the line, "Can't trust a cold-blooded man or woman." I can't remember what she had. She had kind of this first line, and Taylor and I took it and turned it into this blues
song. Blues song.
Did she get writing credit?
She did get writing credit. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yes. Yeah.
You write, you get credit.
Can we feed you guys
some
lines?
We're very fair and honest.
Our bus driver.
You got any? Throw them our way.
Our bus driver is feeding us lines every. He's like, dude, he's trying so hard. He's like, I need a retirement fund.
It's Stone and Double T, 104.9 The X Rocks. 104.9 The X Rocks. Stone and Double T hanging out with the Pretty Reckless this morning. You guys are fascinated by that.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's kind of weird. Talk about how the band got together and how this came to be.
Well, I was a singer-songwriter and was working with a lot of different people trying to find the right fit. And I met Cato, who's our producer, and through him I met Ben. And Ben and I started writing songs together, and it just really kind of clicked. And Ben was in a band with Mark and Jamie, and then I met them. And we all met separately through Cato at different times in our life.
And Cato kind of brought it all together.
The
other way to look at it is Taylor had two careers. One was music, one was acting. Mm-hmm. She got successful at acting, and then she shoved it into the music side of things when she could.
Yeah, you've done okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
in that whole acting world.
Yeah, and then I went. Yeah, but.
But she was waiting for the minute to jump.
Was waiting to get out of it. So
seriously, so you were just like, "This is part of what I am, but this is really what I want to do."
It wasn't. This is
when
what
I met her.
This
she'd
was
had
my
more
day
studio
job.
Time.
This is what I'm. This is what I do to pay bills right now.
and
I hadn't written a record's worth of material that I wanted people to hear yet. You're not putting out a record when you're 11, but you can be in a movie.
Okay, so you're a singer-songwriter. At what age?
Since I can remember, little kid.
So you're a little kid. Was it always going to be rock? Did it take you through different phases? Or, no, I mean, seriously, because when you're 11, when did you find that voice to say, this is what I'm going to do?
Well, I grew up listening to a lot of classic rock and vinyl. When I heard Strawberry Fields by the Beatles, I was like, hands up, that's it. Okay, that's what I want to do.
What was it about that?
It was just magical. I mean, it changed.
Amazing.
It's amazing, and it changed my life. Like, literally. And I traveled so much that I didn't have a lot of, like, solid friend relationships or anything. So my book, my notebook, or whatever you want to call it, kind of became my best friend. So I just started writing all the time, and it just kind of naturally became a part of me.
Did you write songs? Did you just write everything down? What were you writing at the time?
Songs.
Like, songs.
Yeah, songs. Not necessarily good songs, but songs.
Sure.
Do you remember any of, like, the really early ones? Can you give us a little example?
The only one I can remember, I wrote a song about my dad's dead dog when I was like 5. I was a very morbid child.
Well, sure.
you've had songs covered that you wrote when you were very young.
Yeah, but we don't have to talk about that.
Why? Hold on. Why not?
Because I don't even know how they got to these people.
Hold on, but let's talk about that.
I can give you a why not. As a musician, you like to
keep your
mythology there. Talking about music is like dancing about architecture. Elvis Costello.
way to steal quotes.
So you don't want to, but there are songs out there that you've written that we wouldn't know that you've written?
Yes. Yes. Quite a few of them.
Sure.
No,
or you
kidding.
Just take your name off it. You just go, if you want to do it, that's fine. But take my name off it.
Now, why would you take your name off of it? Just out of curiosity. Are you embarrassed of what you wrote?
I don't use
Are you
the
proud
word,
of what you wrote?
I don't use the word embarrassed.
Yeah,
but
embarrassed
if
is the wrong word.
The wrong
more
word,
of you're not your style.
More
yeah.
It's just, kind of like not what you do.
Yeah. It's just, I think it would be conflicting.
Like when Stephen King writes a kid's book, he names it, he goes under
sure.
a pen name.
He has a pen name.
You could do a pen name so you keep the ethic of what you're trying to do. As a center, as an artist. So
why is that important?
I think it's important for your own focus.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps your own mind focused on what you actually enjoy instead of...
So it doesn't
get
convoluted.
While you round yourself out by doing other things, you still remain solid as an individual in what you set out to do, but you still want to try other things.
If I knew the songs that you're talking about...
I'm sure you don't.
Would I... Well, no, I'm saying if I did, would I automatically... pigeonhole you into a certain corner because of them?
No, you're getting really in depth with this, though.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm fascinated by it.
I don't think you'd pigeonhole me. I think you would just look at the way I write songs differently. You'd be like, well, there's that, but then there's this. So I don't know
Would it be more difficult to accept you for what you're doing now?
Well, let me ask you, if you read a Stephen King children's book that was about daisies and flowers,
and then
would
you
it
read
be harder
to accept
Salem's Lot? I don't know, the Stephen King reference might be weird.
See, to me, it's just that's who it is. And I've always talked about, you know, we talk about rock radio. If he had to do some different type of radio, he wouldn't do it. He would walk away from it.
For me,
I love radio.
Sure.
I'll do any type. If I'm spinning a Hank Williams Jr. song, I'd be happy as hell doing it.
Sure, sure.
Because
sure.
I like this aspect
sure.
of it.
Well, but that's Hank Williams Jr. What if it was, say,
Brantley Gilbert? I'd shoot somebody.
Okay, well, there you go.
Okay, so then you have your limits.
You have your limits. Everybody has their limits.
I'm all about the rock, but, you know, if I write a bluesy song that doesn't need giant electric guitars and it's awesome, I'm not going to say I won't do it.
Yeah, it's less style and more quality.
Yeah,
I think that you go for. And if you write some songs that are kind of less quality,
catchy, but less quality
that other people do, or you throw out to them, they're not what your goal was. So you just
so you just throw them to the side, and if someone else wants them, cool.
Yeah.
The Pretty Reckless is hanging out with us this morning. That was a little heavy right there.
Mm-hmm. That was. I feel.
I know. You got really in depth for 5 a.m. Jesus. Yeah.
He gets pushy at times. I don't know if you noticed
sometimes
that.
I think you got to ask questions, don't you?
I think we got to talk about this Flower and Doggy book by Stephen King.
I know. Where can I get that? I don't read, but I might read that one.
I really want to know more about the song you wrote about your dad's dead dog.
Do you remember the chorus?
I don't know. Sure. Something like...
Don't.
Something about cancer, and it was morbid. I don't remember. I'm sure it's in one of my books in my parents' house somewhere.
How many things do you think you just have stored away of songs you've written?
So many books. When I met you, many did I? I had like
a billion
notebooks of just...
You're prolific.
Thanks, baby.
Can you focus at all on writing songs now? Or is it just go out and tour?
I find it hard to write on the road.
Yeah, riding on the road's difficult.
Why?
Because you're in such a different mindset.
You're never alone.
You're never alone to like sit with your own thoughts.
Yeah.
And because you're constantly with people. And
like these guys. See them? They're always there.
They're always right there.
And, always asking you to do something.
How am I supposed
different?
To write a song with this guy staring at me?
You can't be serious,
just
can you?
For the listening audience, the tour manager is sitting behind us.
Yes.
Is it write a platinum song with the tour manager?
How important is a tour manager in your world?
He could be really important. he's as important as he wants to make himself.
I've always had this theory that you, as a group, as an artist, send the tour manager out there just to be a complete asshole for you. Is this true? So what? You don't have to be. So you can just walk in all smiles going, I don't know what you're talking about.
I think anyone with the word manager attached to them, their job is to protect the artist and be the bad guy when necessary. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that their goal is to be, and you said asshole, so I'll say asshole. I don't know if you can say that.
Yeah,
if we're open for swearing here.
Yeah, this is a whole
conversation
then.
So this fucking dick, right? No. I don't know if that's, you can,
we have to beep that out.
But he came in.
Can you say the A-H word?
Well, I don't know if we can or
not. Okay.
He came in, and I met him when he got in, and he was actually really pleasant to deal with. Because some guys are coming, what are we doing, blah, 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 and
start
barking out orders. And he was just getting your information for you, which is his job, and he did a good job of doing it.
Yeah, well, maybe we need a bigger asshole tour manager.
You guys talked about the room that you wrote songs in at the Hard Rock in Chicago, how it had a vibe to it. How often, since you've been out on tour, do you walk into a room and you completely feel the vibe right when you walk in it?
I think it's only happened like maybe twice. This one was specifically.
I walked in, I strummed a chord, and I went, did you hear that?
And I went, yes.
Seriously?
Yes. He was here.
Well, yeah, he did say it, yeah.
Yeah, and we wrote... that was the beginning.
So ideally, I kick all of you out of the building and sit here for about 3 days and try to come up with one song.
One song is you sit down. Your favorite song? You can't have a favorite song, but I'm sure they come quick, they come slowly.
They come quick, they come slow.
Yeah, some of them are done and it's like kismet done in 5 minutes, and some of them you work on for quite some time.
Yeah.
Is there one that gives you more satisfaction than the other?
No.
It's just when you finish a song and it's good, there is no better feeling than that. There's 30 seconds of pure pleasure.
And then
is
it start all over again?
And then it starts all over again and you torture yourself again.
Well, Eric Clapton said when he was getting over alcoholism, he was talking about how the void that you mm-hmm. feel when you finish a song, you record it, mm-hmm. that immediate ecstasy, and then...
And
a giant void,
out, and
he was
empty.
Like, what do you fill that void with when you're on? Do you fill it with alcohol? That was his mm-hmm. representation of it. Or you fill it with more working or trying or continuing to work.
Continuing to do it.
Which I think that's what he started to do. That's why in the 70s, when he stopped being a fermenting alcoholic, he was much more prolific as a musician. He would play varieties of music, and he went around. You know, he changed.
Finishing and drinking and finishing to doing something else.
Yeah, continuing to play. Use music to satisfy the void itself. And so that's what we're kind of doing now. Mm-hmm. You finish the record and get on tour as fast as possible. And when we're off tour, tour ends in November. We're going back in the studio
just to record stuff just to keep going.
You are an encyclopedia, aren't you?
Yeah, but I lose a lot to other people who are more of an encyclopedia than me. We have a band opening for us called Heaven's Basement, and they're a bunch of British guys.
And so they're
from the land of Led Zeppelin and the Beatles. So these guys walk up to me.
It's constant all day long. Yeah. Ben and these guys go back and forth and back and forth about Beatle trivia and
anything
that, who can win.
Who played tambourine on the third take?
literally.
And I tend to lose.
Yeah, well, they're from there.
Yeah, I should still be smarter.
The Pretty Reckless is hanging out with us. They're going to be at the House of Blues. What is House of Blues? What night?
Sunday
night.
With Heaven's Basement.
They're a fine band.
Yeah, they're a great bunch of musicians.
Yeah, they're great.
And a great group of guys.
Yeah. But since we have the guitar.
Yes.
What are you going to do for us now?
We'll do our new single that just came out. This is kind of a
reworked version.
Acoustic version of it. But
when you say reworked, how?
Take everything out
because you have to play that without an electric guitar. So since we only got an acoustic, it's a reworked acoustic version of...
I'm not going to say we're ripping off somebody, but his name might rhyme with...
Johnny Cash.
Lonnie Mash.
Stone and Double T. 104.9 The X Rocks. 104.9 The X Rocks. We lost somebody, Double T.
I know.
The Pretty Reckless comes in, and now it's just Taylor from The Pretty Reckless. What the hell happened?
Ben walks out.
Why does Ben walk out?
I don't know. Ben's a flake. He does it all the time. I'm surprised he actually stays on stage as long as he does.
It adds mystery to him.
Yeah. Has he always been like
mystique.
That?
Yeah. Yeah. He's ADD.
I was going to ask you, very short attention span. Boom, I got to go someplace else.
Uh-huh. And same thing with music. Like, if you give him a radio, you can't hear, 30 seconds of a song and it's something else.
Well, but if you're sitting down to write a song with a person like that, can he focus long enough to do that? Or does he bounce?
No. When you're in your own head in the world of writing, that's a different thing. But when you're in just like everyday life, he's back.
I thought he was gone. I totally thought you were gone.
Thank God there's still rock radio. Just walked through the station.
He had to go look around.
I did. I went and looked around.
You went and looked around. Are you actually ADD? Do you have that?
I definitely cannot.
I saw. I was surprised you don't walk off stage every night. But he doesn't play anything the same twice every night, so that keeps him entertained.
It's not Broadway. It's rock and roll. I don't understand this.
Agreed.
I don't even understand how to play to a track. It's like
then
you have to play the same part every
day. Same thing every night.
The strings sound different every day. They're different every day. It's different.
You said you walked around.
And I like the song. It's a big station. It's nice. It's nice you guys are surviving. It's not a shack somewhere in the middle of the woods. So.
If people are looking for your record, is it out there? Can we grab the whole album, or are we finding a single? What are we finding?
Right now you have the single Going to Hell is out with a music video. We'll have a bunch more singles coming out soon with videos and all that. But the record itself, which is also called Going to Hell, is going to be out early 2014.
Okay. So then it'll come out. Then, if we're looking for you on the internet, what do we find?
You can go to thepretty reckless dot gotthisfeeling.com, or you can go to goingtohell.xxx.
Yeah, that's the
And it's safe because I did it.
It's safe.
I was worried,
safe.
But
no,
it was
it's
good.
Just, it's got all the tour dates and all the content and all the videos we put out recently and stuff. Yeah, goingtohell.xxx.
Very
and then
nice.
It's Facebook and all that / The Pretty Reckless.
And Sunday night at the House of Blues.
And Twitter is at Taylor Momsen.
Taylor, are you a big Twitter?
I do it.
Valuable tool for a musician.
I could barely use a computer, so I can do it from my phone. So if I don't have cell service, though, it's I'm offline for a bit.
Like we both do the Twitter, and I'm just like, I don't have anything interesting to say.
I feel like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Tweet Taylor. You have something interesting to say.
You know what? Or I could do like our midday guy does here, just retweet everybody else.
Sure, sure. Sure.
That's what you do when you have no personality. No.
It's being recorded. Did you just
oh, we say it all the time. Yeah, he knows it.
I mean, seriously, he knows it. If you follow at Captain Jack Show, it's nothing but retweets, and it's really embarrassing for him.
And pictures of him in his Speedo from his weightlifting competition,
which is way uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't want to meet
him. I
know.
I don't know if I want to look at his Twitter now. Or...
No, seriously, it's like he did a whole bodybuilding competition this past weekend.
But I don't want to make fun of him.
Guys, House of Blues Sunday night. Early show.
Early show. And early curfew.
Very nice. Well, best of luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
The Pretty Reckless. Make sure you keep the on there.
Right.
Not just Pretty Reckless. The Pretty Reckless. Going to Hell's the name of the record. It'll be out in 2014. Thanks so much for stopping by this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
You guys are stupid for getting up this early.
We haven't gone to bed.
We haven't gone to bed.
Okay, that makes sense. It's Stone and Double T, 104.9 The X Rock.